It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton. It's time for our weekly visit. We get this time, KETR gives us this time to talk about hunting and fishing, and that's just what we do. Now, the first portion of our show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. You can go online to biggame.org, and there you can learn all about the Dallas Safari Club. Also, Young's Wilderness Camp up on Lake of the Woods in Ontario, Canada, underwrites this segment of our show. And you can go online to youngswildernesscamp.com and learn all about it. Folks, I think today what we need to do is talk duck hunting, and talk duck hunting with somebody who knows a whole bunch about it, and that's Mr. Rod Haydale. Rod, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm thrilled. I've got just a little bit of a scratchy throat, but I think I'm going to get some of that community coffee down me and clean out the pipes, you know?
Well, good deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rod, I guess everyone listening that's a sportsman, and most people that listen to our show are hunters and fishermen, they know about Haydale's game calls. Your dad, Eli, I had the privilege of hunting with Eli a couple of times, and can't say enough good stuff about him and your whole family. But y'all are alive and kicking, making new calls all the time. How long has Haydale's game calls been around, Rod?
Well, Luke, we've been in business since 1981, and you know, that's quite a few years to keep on trying to develop new products and stuff like that. And every year I beat myself up trying to think of what we're going to come out with next, you know. So it's hard to invent new animals to make new sounds. But, you know, as you've seen, I've sent you a couple of calls here the other day that you wasn't aware we had. And it's some of the old standbys. So, you know, they still work too.
You bet. You know, that double reed, the Cajun squeal, I think that's the 88 model. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That call, when I was talking to Rod, folks, I've been using, I think it's the 85, the old call for years. That's what I hunt ducks a lot here by my house. I'm fortunate to have some good duck hunting. But I was needing a call that I didn't have to put quite as much wind into. And especially, Rod, for like the chuck, feeding chuckles and the high ball. You know, I wanted one that didn't require quite as much pressure. And by golly, this 88 is one of them. I mean, it seems to me that the amount of air pressure is a whole lot less than what I'm used to, you know?
It is a lot less. You know, that call was originally designed after, you know, the style of calling down in South Louisiana where, you know, they put a squeal on the end of their notes down there to simulate like ducks that are feeding on rice, and they've got the rice all up in their craw, and it restricts their vocal cords, and sometimes you'll hear a little hen make that little squeal. Well, as a result of making the call, the design of that call by nature, it does tend and lend itself to be a little bit easier blowing call. And so that's what you found with that. You don't always have to put that squeal on the call, but if you so desire to, you can just pinch your lips together and make that little squeal sound like the old guides down in South Louisiana.
Well, it's a very easy call to blow. And you know, Rod, our ducks this year, feds are predicting about banner year for duck hunting. Should be a lot of ducks. Should be a good season, don't you think?
I certainly hope so. Things are cranking up and looking good for sure. I know down in our part of the country, down in South Louisiana, where we hunt a lot of the marsh and stuff, with the drought and stuff that we've had over the past few years and the advent of all the hurricanes that we've had in the past, we've had a lot of salt water due to evaporation or, like I said, the hurricanes, and it's just wiped out a lot of the feed in the marshes where we hunt. And so with all the rains we've been having, the fresh water down around the Lake Charles area and stuff, the grasses are growing, ducks have food, so we're keeping our fingers crossed. If we don't get a hurricane, it ought to be a banner year.
You know, Rod, I'm very fortunate. I live southeast of Dallas, about 30 miles, and I live 2 miles as the crow flies, or as the duck flies, from Sands Wetland. It's a 2,000-acre wetland, and the wetland was developed a couple of years ago, and I thought, well, now when this wetland comes in, Rod, all these ducks are going to just flock. The hunting has not changed. It's gravel pits, you know, that I hunt,
right?
And it's backwaters. There's probably 40 acres of water. It's remained excellent, but I couldn't see any increased number of ducks because of the wetlands. So I guess it's just one of those honey holes that's very remote to get to, even that close to a metropolitan area, you know. But ducks have a way of seeking out areas where they feel like they're safe, don't they?
They sure do. They sure do. And, you know, it's with the advent of all of these surface drive motors, mud motors, if you will, you know, guys are getting into areas that they used to not be able to get into 20 years ago. And, you know, I think that in itself, ducks are seeking out even more and more remote places to get away from the pressure. And, you know, I certainly know in our area down along the Gulf Coast, you know, it's not uncommon for fishermen and stuff to see birds rafted up in the Gulf of Mexico, you know, 20 miles out during the middle of the day. They're just sitting there. They're not feeding on nothing. They're just wet resting and getting out of the pressure, the hunting pressure, you know.
You bet. Well, one thing about this particular little area that I hunt, and I liken it to a lot of good duck hotspots, I use a little boat called a new canoe, right? And it's kind of a hybrid boat between a kayak and a canoe. But I paddle. I know that place like the back of my hand because I've hunted it probably 8 or 9 years now, 3 or 4 times a week. But I'll get up early, and I've got the blind set back in the back. And depending, every year is a new year. Some years the water level is up. You could literally access the back of it with a bigger boat some years. But years like the last 2 or 3, what happens, you can paddle. You need a small boat like this new canoe, but you can paddle back. You may have to drag it for 30, 40 yards, you know, where these ponds are not linked together because of high water. But once you get back there, there's a lot of native stuff, and years back it's been planted in millet, Japanese millet, and those ducks, it's a place you have to want to get to. It's not real easy to access, but it's really a good spot when you get there. Well, Rod, as far as calling, of course, you and your family's made your living designing and building duck calls. I've watched ducks a lot, and I've hunted with some pros like you folks and a lot of duck guides, too. And we even do a little duck guiding, a partner and I. But I think the one thing I've seen that may be an error is too much calling sometimes. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I definitely think there's a time and place for calling, and more oftentimes than not, I find myself calling a little bit more on the side of not enough, some people would say, rather than overcalling. You can really get in a situation, especially if you're hunting stagnant ducks that have been there for a while, if you're not getting any response from your calls, it generally means that ducks have an idea where they're going, and you're not going to be able to turn them. Now, that's not to say that sometimes, you know, you can't really get down on a call and turn them anyway. And after all, you don't have anything to lose at that point. But once you turn a duck your way, then there's a fine line between continuing the call and letting your decoys do the work. You know, my philosophy is that once I turn a duck and I feel like that bird is able to see those decoys, to let those decoys do the work and just fill in a little bit with some ambient noises, like just single quacks, or maybe a little bit of feed calling, but don't overdo it, and let the duck determine how much you do the calling. If he acts like he's not interested and starts to slide, you'll see him usually dip one wing or another like they're fixing to turn. Then at that point is when you really, it's really critical from a timing standpoint to really cut down on that call and get that bird straightened up. And because if he makes that full turn away from you, oftentimes it's harder to get him straightened back out, headed your way. So if you can almost anticipate him, you know, flaring, or maybe not even a flare, but just lack of interest, that's the key time to call to him.
You know, that makes a great deal of sense, Rod. And I've noticed you'd mentioned just a single quack, and I've heard ducks do this so many times. Just more or less what they're trying to communicate to each other, I don't know, but it's just a single quack, and it's like a comfort sound to them. Like, you know,
it is, and it's almost if you find yourself in a situation to where a duck really is leery, and you can almost hypnotize this duck. I like to say, and it's hard to describe in words as what's happening in that situation. But if you have a duck that wants to turn constantly, but yet you keep on with a single quack paced out about like this, rack, rack, rack. You know, if you do that 10 or 12 times, he's almost he almost gets to a point where he's hypnotized to that sound.
Yes,
and,
I know.
And it's actually comical at times. But anyhow, that's my style, and it works for me, you know.
You bet. Well, setting out, I've spent untold hours because from where I live, I can be in this paddled back and in the blind back there in one of my blinds in probably 25 minutes, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've spent hours back there by myself a lot of times, you know. As an old outdoor rider, I'm free during the week a lot, and I can, you know, have that luxury. But ducks, you know, sitting on the water, they amaze me. A lot of times I won't even call. Sometimes I don't even shoot. I just listen, you know. But you can learn a lot by, if you have the luxury, you know, of spending a lot of time out on the water, can't you?
Sure.
Yep, that's real neat too. Nothing in the world like it, just being there where you can hear those ducks interacting with each other. Now, another question, a wood duck. I have had almost no luck. I know there's a wood duck squealer. I know that you make one, but I've never really learned to attract wood ducks with a call. Have you had much luck with you know, bringing them in? Now, sometimes they'll just kind of, seems like a wood duck just is going to go where he's going to go, but
case, you know, again, you know, if you have some wood duck decoys out, you know, that can help. You know, but there's actually two different types of calls that we make. We make a squealer sound, that the typical wood duck squeal that everybody thinks of, and then we also make a call called a wood duck whine. And where I developed this call was after watching an old VHS tape that Ducks Unlimited had done, and there was a pretty scene of a wood duck a male wood duck coming in and landing, and he started, as soon as he hit the water, he started making this high pitched whine, and the film cut to some other wood ducks flying around as this other this drake was making this sound, and they came on right on in to him, and I started using this. I made this call years ago, back when I was in college, and we just so happened to hunt a lot of green tree area back then, and started using it then, and it really did bump up our odds.
Well,
then.
They have their ducks, so they have to respond at some point. You know, I'm getting prompted that we're just about out of time, Rod. Would you leave the website where folks can learn more about what you do and Haydell calls, please, sir?
Sure. Our website is www.haydells, that's HAYDELS.com.
Well, Rod, thanks very much for being with us, and we'll get you back when the big duck season opens, and we'll talk some more duck hunting. How about it?
Good to talk to you, Luke.
Folks, we just lost Mr. Rod Haydell on the line there, but that was Rod Haydell with Haydell's Game Calls. Remember now, the second portion of this show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. You can go online to biggame.org and learn all about the Dallas Safari Club. Remember also, KETR.org, you can listen to the archive of this show for a long, long time, and make sure and remember and tune in this time next week, and we'll have some more fun in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.